Kia ora, whānau. Hey, if you're not sure, do you guys want to get some colouring? There's some cool colouring over there if you want. So feel free to go up and get some. If anyone wants some, that'll be great. You're very welcome to. There's a few fidgety things over there as well. So, yeah, they're pretty cool. You might need to photocopy a couple more. Hey, Leanne, would you be up for photocopying a couple more? That'd be great. Yeah. Just in case that's needed. Yeah, thanks. Last one. Sweet. Hey, welcome back, Kun. It's really good to see you. Yeah, really good to see you back. And, yeah, we're sorry to hear about your father's passing, but, yeah, we... Lovely to have you back here. With our safe and sound, I'm sure the family all loving that as well. So, yeah, good to have you here. And a special warm welcome from me as well. Hey, so this week I'm going to miss that bit. Who likes getting what they really like?
Yes.
Me. Yes. Definitely. I certainly do. This week I've been a little bit spoiled. Because I've sort of got something that I really wanted. We've had Sky Sport Now at home on a 1 week free trial. Oh, it's been good. It's been really good. With so much football on, it seemed like too good an opportunity to pass up. Has anyone else sort of taken advantage of that? Oh, no one else to give 1 week free. Oh, yeah. The movies. Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. But, you know, there's an ad for the World Cup that sort of comes up time and time, you know, occasionally, where it says that football unites the world. Football unites the world, or something like that, anyway. And I'm really not too sure about that, eh? I'm really not too sure about that. Take this picture, for example. You know, that'll be a pretty commonplace, you know, numerous dozens of times every 90 minutes. You know, what about this one? It's, you know, united, you know, there's a whole lot of human rights issues going on there, isn't there? Yeah, I think that sort of says it all, doesn't it? With apparently those two have a bit of a rift going on. Corrupt governance, hooligans, fighting, attacks on officials, extreme disappointment. Ugh, people breaking into tears over kicking a round thing around. The irony of shocking human rights, which is then pointed back at the accusing groups with rightful examples of racism. It's just, there's not much unity going on here. And a love for a country that makes the other the enemy. This is sort of the stuff that I sort of see in football all the time. It seems to me like football fuels conflict more than unity and peace. Anyone else sort of with me on that, or is that just... I'm sure there's some good things. There's always good things as well. You know, we can always look for the good, can't we? But and don't we all want and need some peace right now? That situation at school, that mean kid or that mean teacher, that situation with the family, especially in the lead-up to Christmas, Ukraine... Wouldn't peace be amazing right now? You know, the New Testament part of the Bible is full of talk of Jesus and the peace that he brings. As Leanne's read out to us, Jesus said, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid." And as Leanne asked, what is Jesus' peace like? And how do we get some of it? Because we all know the world desperately needs peace. And if we're honest, we desperately need peace in parts of our lives as well. Do we get Jesus' peace by some magical, mystical experience that only some people get to experience? Or is Jesus' peace imaginary? a placebo effect where if we seek it, in our minds we'll feel better. I love that quote by Sheila Walsh saying, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ." And that's one of my key points this morning. The Kiwi worship band, Te Rautini, on their song, Afi O Mai, sing it a bit like this. Do we have that clip, Tim? Oh, sweet. They sing it a bit like this.
Oh, he never told me that it wouldn't be easy. He said suffering would come, but he promised peace.
The first point I want to draw us to this morning is that we can live in Jesus' peace when we see the reason we need hope. So Sarah Bessie writes that hope dares to admit that not everything is as it should be. Conflict isn't how life should be, is it? And hope leads us to see what could be instead. When we can see the conflict in the world around us and inside us, we can see there is a reason to hope for something better, to hope for peace. And when we identify and recognize and notice the lack of peace, arguments, bullying, violence, inconsistencies in our lives, internal struggles we can't sort out, ways of being that continue to cause hurt, then we're more able to seek out peace when we're aware of the conflict. When we hang on to the hope that God is making all things new, renewing all of creation, then this can help bring us a bigger perspective in which we know things aren't what they can or will be now. We know that things will be made new. And that brings a perspective and that brings some peace into our hearts and minds when we remember and take hold of that thought. Things will get better. It won't always be like this. Secondly, we can live in Jesus' peace when we embrace the joy, found in friends. One of the best parts of the Bible, I think, is when Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, but friends." That's in John 15. And it is this very Jesus who promised his Spirit, his invisible and powerful life, to be in us and enable us to be in Christ Jesus. Of course, this doesn't mean we won't be scared or anxious or agitated, but it does mean we can take comfort and reassurance. We can take peace from the reality that God is with us. God is with us by the Spirit because of Jesus, who called us friend. And I get, you know, that this requires a little trust or faith on our part, that God is indeed with us when there is a lack of peace. And sometimes it's friends, not the spiritual friend, but sometimes it's the, you know, real life physical, not that God's not real life, but, you know, physical friends with us who hold us and bring a touch of joy into hard times when we struggle to trust and struggle to believe, because that is real and how it is at times. Jesus' peace also comes through people, especially friends, who care for us when the going gets tough. So many times in my life I've had somebody text or call or drop in or make or give something, encourage me or express concern for me or care in a practical way that helps me get through. The tension eases. The problem shrinks a little bit. The way forward becomes a little bit clearer. the aha moments of self-awareness of why I'm feeling this way are revealed. And I, for one, am confident that people caring like this in Jesus-like ways will help bring me some peace through future hard times. Like God's presence bringing peace, God and others can bring something of the peace of Christ Jesus too. The third point I want to draw us to this morning is that we can live in Jesus' peace when we walk in love. Love forged in forgiveness. Love doesn't mean accepting everything and everyone exactly how it is all the time. Yes, everybody is made in God's image and therefore precious and loved, but in terms of behavior and hurt and ongoing breakdowns of relationship, love doesn't necessarily fully embrace these. The ultimate show of love, of course, was Jesus and his willingness to suffer and give up his right to power and retribution to those who had treated him terribly. That's the power of the cross. About forgiveness, Nadia Boltz-Weber says that when someone else does us harm, we're connected to that mistreatment like a chain. What if forgiveness, rather than being a pansy way of saying, it's okay, is actually a way of wielding bolt cutters and snapping the chain that links us? Forgiveness can be a way of saying, what you did is so not okay that I refuse to be connected to it anymore. Forgiveness is about being a freedom fighter. And free people aren't controlled by the past. Free people laugh more than others. Free people see beauty where others do not. Free people are unafraid to speak truth to stupid. Free people are not chained to resentment. Forgiveness really is a light that shines in the darkness, that the darkness cannot, will not, shall not overcome. Maybe Jesus' words, "it is finished," are connected to these ideas. We can live in Jesus' peace when we walk towards forgiveness. Our Carey Baptist College lecturer Phil Halstead writes about forgiveness. He says quite a bit about what it's not, but a bit about what it is as well, and I find this personally really helpful. Forgiveness is not denying offences. Rather, forgiveness acknowledges the sins and wounds of people. And we too must take responsibility for our wrongdoings, apologise and do our best to put things right without asking for forgiveness, because that's up to the people we've hurt to offer, not us to demand or ask. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. That's potentially quite dangerous. It's usually impossible and sometimes quite wasteful in terms of what we can learn in that. However, forgiveness over time might assist in remembering past actions differently. Forgiveness is not forsaking justice. Although forgiveness may enable people to reconsider how justice might be outworked. Forgiveness is not trust. Nevertheless, forgiveness can be offered as a gift and or discovered after it has occurred. But the rebuilding of trust, if possible, requires time. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation might be the optimum goal of forgiveness and to which we're, you know, called to in Christ. But even though forgiveness may be extended by one party, reconciliation requires the willingness of both parties. And some hurts are so understandably deep that reconciliation probably is probably completely out of the question. Forgiveness is not to be rushed, because speedy forgiveness may prevent learning opportunities and tarnish forgiveness's reputation in the wider community. Like, you know, in the news sometimes you see, you know, something horrific has happened and you'll see someone come out and say, I forgive them, like straight away, like the day after sort of thing. And it's like, I get that intent to walk that journey, but yeah, that's a big thing. And it can also foil persons or be unhelpful for gaining the benefits of authentic forgiveness offers if we rush it. So suffering and hardship are a part of being human, and it's no different for Christians, is it? There is a peace that can come in walking towards Jesus' ways of forgiveness, even if at a snail-like pace. This walk towards forgiveness might not be a deliberate choice, and it won't necessarily happen instantly, but a lightness and a freedom that names the reality that what has happened is not okay, that cuts ties with resentment, that refuses to be held by bitterness. This is walking towards forgiveness. And this is what will help us experience the peace of Christ. It's pretty easy to get really mad when somebody purposely bumps into you, isn't it? Or makes a face at us. Or ignores our ideas. And the feelings of being really mad are pretty uncomfortable too, aren't they? We might want to rage against the wrong. But deep down, we probably want those feelings to go away and have some peace again. In my extended family right now, some decisions made a long time ago that caused some significant and long-term hurt have very recently surfaced. Some have been holding on to bitterness and resentment all these years, longer than I've been alive. Some are trying to sweep it under the carpet by saying, we just need to move on. And the person who'd done the wrong never took responsibility for their actions or apologized. It's pretty hard to see how peace can work in messy situations like this. But I do believe it can happen. It's interesting for me trying to work out how I can be a part of that. But in conclusion, naming the pain and wrongdoing and remembering the big picture hope of the renewal of all things can help bring the peace of Christ. Embracing the joy found in the presence of God and friends with us helps bring the peace of Christ. And walking, or crawling perhaps, towards a gutsy, strong, bolt-cutter-like forgiveness is living out the love we see in Jesus, and this helps also bring the peace of Christ. And so may the deep peace of Christ be with you this Advent and every day. I realise it's a big topic, peace, eh, with what it sort of brings up and stirs in us, especially when you start touching on forgiveness and stuff like that. Eh? So, you know, if anyone ever wants to have a chat, find someone to have a chat with, or welcome to contact me or anyone else that you know that would be helpful, because it's really good to be able to talk and follow up some of that stuff. But yeah, that's what I've got. So I'll hand back to Leanne.